We are in this world, but we know we're not of this world, and a lot of times our expectations in this world are not met. And I think that's because, I know it's because we don't have our minds focused on the things we need to have it focused on completely. And the book of Acts will help us this morning. Been reading and studying the book of Acts for a while, and as I read it, understand that this book is a transitional book. You know, Christ Jesus had just given his life, and we see that in the first chapter of the book of Acts, that he had ascended to glory. Turn your Bibles, please, to the fourth division. We'll get there after a while. But now, before Christ has completely left this earth and gone back to heaven, he has taken his disciples in their trouble. Can you imagine what they had gone through because they'd followed him, and they surely thought he would restore the kingdom of Israel to its national prominence, powerful nation that it was perhaps back in David's time and Solomon's time. That's what they were hoping Jesus would do. And then when he died, and even after he is resurrected, they were troubled and they were perplexed. Our dreams, our wishes, what we wanted him to do didn't come true. And the Bible says in the first chapter of Acts, verse 6, that they ask him a question. Will thou restore again Israel? And Jesus answered and he says, it is not for you to know. But when I leave here, you will be witnesses. And now they were troubled and they were out there and they were on that hill looking up toward heaven as he was going to the Father. And the Bible says an angel appeared and said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus that's leaving is coming back in like manner. But yet you are here for a reason. And just because your expectations wasn't met, you need to get your mind and you need to get your life focused on what I have you here. So let's look at the thought this morning for you and I, maintaining our focus. Sometimes in the last few weeks, you know, all you hear about, sometimes all you think about is, you know, will all the good things that we really want, will somehow we have somebody that will go in office and stop killing babies and stop the drugs from coming across the border. Will it? And during those times, our focus is on what man can do. But we're going to find out this morning that God wants us focused on what he can do. So let's go through first two or three chapters of the book of Acts, just not reading it, just think about that. Because now we see that these disciples, after they saw him go, they knew and realized that he was coming back. And the lost world out there, the nation Israel, for the most part, were not saved, not believers. In fact, remember just a little over 30 years before that, Herod the king, had all the baby boys, 2 years old and younger, completely killed, annihilated. And boy, that was disturbing. I'm sure the disciples said, when Jesus starts ruling, that's going to stop, that sort of thing. And then we see in the book of Acts how the disciples now, they were maintaining what God taught them to do. Let's look at five different things this morning hurriedly. First of all, let's look at the obedience to the Holy Spirit. That's your job and mine. Complete obedience to the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that every day and every week they would go to the house of God, because anything worth anything is going to be centered around the house of God. And we see that Peter and John were headed at the time of prayer to the house of God. And they were going there to pray and to seek his face, knowing, realizing that they had a job to do. And he had told them, don't go anywhere and do anything. You stay at Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. They had done that. 120 of them were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit, remember, came down as a cloven tongue of fire, and those that were redeemed and saved, he came to abide with them forever. And Jesus had promised that. He said, when I go to the Father, we will send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And now these disciples, they were going to pray. And as they were going to pray, remember, there was a lame man laying, alms, need some offering, because obviously wasn't able to work. So Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he did just that. And we find him leaping and praising and honoring God. But you know where he went? The first thing he did? You can guess it. He went to the house of God. And when you get saved, there's something that comes in your heart that you want to be in God's house with God's people. Because remember, Paul told us not to assemble thyself in the manner some have. So what a joy it is this morning to be in the house of God, reading the Word of God, and hope in the Holy Spirit, and he wants to help us rekindle and maintain the focus of what he wants to. Not on what man can do, but what God can do and what our job really is. And now this man was praising, he was leaping, and all the people were gathering together. And as they were gathering together, what happened? We know this guy, we've seen him, he was lame, and now he's leaping, praising. Something must have happened. Opportunity. Peter starts proclaiming what thus saith the word of God. And he keeps proclaiming it, and told about this Jesus that you crucified, and he has risen again. And at his name you can be saved. So 3,000 had just got saved at Pentecost, and now hundreds more is going to get saved and gloriously saved. And now the religious crowd doesn't like it. Listen, everything God's people are doing, the world doesn't like it. We're hated for it, and they were obedient to God. But now we're going to look at the oppression and how the world will oppress us and how they will try to change our opinion, and they will be opposed to everything God's for. We live in that kind of world. Everything God wants you and I to do, the world, and there's a lot more of them out there than there are of us. But let's look closely. It didn't hinder John. It didn't hinder Peter. It didn't hinder the rest of the disciples. Let's look at chapter 4 now. And we're going to see some of the opposition and the oppression now. As they were proclaiming and teaching about what God had done through this man, another opportunity is going to present itself, because they're going to wonder. They realized and knew they couldn't question it. This man was lame. This man, something happened to him. And then when the question is asked to Peter, he's going to proclaim real easy what happened. Look at the first verse of chapter 4. The opposition and the oppression that the disciples were going to have. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They were oppressing them. They were trying to hush them up. We don't want to hear about this Jesus. They knew they'd put him to death, and they did not want to hear anything about his resurrection power and about he was going to use these disciples, about healing the man that was lame. They didn't want to hear that. In fact, the next verse tells us how upset they were and how bothered they were and how opposed they were. It's like that with you and I today. Don't expect that when you go in the world and start talking about the things of God, you're going to get hand claps or pats on the back. But it doesn't matter. It shouldn't hinder us. We keep our mind focused, and we maintain the focus God wanted us to have. Look at verse 3. They were so opposed to it, they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it is now eventide. Just proclaiming what had happened. They asked a question. And a lot of people believed, but now the disciples were able to go out and persuade many that were lost to come to the knowledge of the saving power of Jesus Christ. But the religious crowd didn't want any part of it. Let's lock them up. We've got to decide how we can stop this. We don't want it. And the same thing is true with us today, but see, it did not hinder Peter and John. John did not know that just within a short time, his brother James would be put to death by another Herod, calling the family of the Herods. It didn't hinder them or stop them either. And no matter what the world does, no matter expectations not being met, see, that's trying to oppress us. It's trying to tear us down and get our mind off the things of God. But see, Peter and John and the disciples didn't let that happen. In fact, they turned it around, and all the opposition, it didn't hinder whatsoever. It made them more bold. And we're going to see how the boldness of God has such an effect on their life. But look at verse 4 of this same chapter. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Well, that would encourage you, wouldn't it? Just a few days before was Pentecost. People from all nations that spoke many different languages that come because they want to be obedient to the word of God and assemble at the feast. And when they were there, remember, God put preach in Peter. And Peter preached, and every person heard it in their own language. The miracle was in the hearing. He preached, and God did the transforming. Every man, the Bible says, heard it in his own language. And 3,000 souls got saved that day. And now Peter is proclaiming again what happened, and 5,000 men got saved. That's encouraging. That helps maintain your focus. No matter, their disappointments were many. Jesus, they had been crucified, their leader, their Lord, and then they had seen him depart. And now the Holy Ghost is going to guide them and lead them and help them overcome anything the world tries to throw on them. You and I are in this world. We're not accepted by the world, but it doesn't matter. Things don't go the way we think they ought to go. Doesn't matter. We have the Holy Ghost that will help us maintain our focus on what our job is. What did Jesus tell the disciples? Pretty much it's none of your business what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, but you're witnesses. You're witness of the resurrection power of God. But not only that, he takes advantage of every open door that comes his way. Look in the fifth verse. God opens doors. How many doors has God opened for you and I to be a witness? God will probably remind you this morning, and many of you hopefully have taken advantage of those opportunities to proclaim what thus saith the word of God. And one opportunity we have is stay focused. You may clam your mouth up and not be like Peter, not say anything positive, but at least you can stay focused on the things of God, that your life should be a witness. Look at verse 5. Another open door to proclaim Jesus. I've said before, Peter is my favorite disciple. Oh, I know John was the beloved disciple, and I love them all. But you see, Peter was the one that had made so many mistakes. I guess the reason I can relate to him so good, I've made my share of mistakes. But every time he made a mistake, he remembers that look Jesus gave him, no doubt, when he denied the Lord. You may not say, I've never denied the Lord, and I haven't either in word, but have we ever denied him by not being a witness, by not doing what he expects us to do? Because if we don't do what he tells us to do in his word, be faithful, remember? They were proclaiming the word of God, and they were obedient to the Lord because they were going to the house of God, and they were praying and seeking his face. They didn't forget that. They were always about the Father's business. The opposition and the oppression will come. But now another open door. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow. Right now they were in hold. They had been arrested. And they had been chain or whatever they were doing. They could not go out. They said, you stay here overnight. We'll deal with you tomorrow. But thank God for tomorrow. You know, we have hopefully another day coming tomorrow. And how many more open doors will God give us? If we'll learn to maintain our focus, it's not about what men can do in this world or what men hasn't done. In fact, it's not what other people did, because most of the world, like the fact of maybe killing babies, doesn't mean you and I ought to. We're opposed to that, and God's opposed to it, but let God deal with it. And God is telling the disciples, don't have to worry about what I'm going to do. You worry about what you're supposed to do. He'll take care of his business. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Can you imagine of all the questions that they were asked, that is the one question Peter wanted to hear. And the world will open the door for you. Many times I don't have time to tell you that the world, or somebody in the world, has opened the door for me by asking the question. And you get to, I've met people on the streets in Hendersonville and other places on airplanes. They'll ask a question. And for the next sometimes an hour or 2 hours, you get to, they ask the question, now you get to proclaim. God opens doors, he'll do it for you. And now Peter is telling again about the good grace of God. By what name, by what authority are you telling this man to stand up and receive his strength? Oh, that's a good opportunity to start proclaiming Jesus again. And for the next several verses, let's just read one or two of them. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of a good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the cornerstone. Getting to preach Jesus again, maintaining his focus, forgetting the fact that Jesus did not do what they expect him to do, to call the nation of Israel to be a powerful nation again. Physically, God has used America not only to be a strong military power, and we're thankful for that, we have our freedom, but I believe the main thing that we need to focus on, God has called America, you and myself, to be a witness for him to all the world. We proclaim the gospel. God has used America. We failed him. But let's let God help us maintain our focus. Because when we're focusing about what man could do, ought to do, what we want him to do, it takes our focus off of what he wants you and I to do. You know that to be true, and I know that to be true. But God has used the book of Acts to help me understand my... Now look at another opportunity to share. Look at chapter 4, verse 23. Another opportunity to share God's word. And being let go, they finally turned them loose, and they said, okay, we'll let you go. But don't you preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Well, you know that's not going to happen. Too late. You see, it's too late for so many of us because no matter what the world says, God has done a work in their heart. He's come to live in their heart. We heard a wonderful testimony. That was so timely. That a great man he was, but then when you get saved, boy, the power of God comes in. All things are new and the focus is regained. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported to all the chief priests and elders that said to them. And when they had heard, they lifted their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou God, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is within, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Remember Psalms chapter 1 and 2 and 3, great Psalms. And now he's repeating that what God has done, what the kings are going to do, but what God has already done. For the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Isn't that amazing? That's the whole verse of scripture I want to be preaching on pretty soon, the whole message. God's counsel is already determined. It pleased the Father that Jesus be bruised and he'll give his life. God has ordained a lot of things for America. I believe God's hand of judgment is upon America. But read the verse again. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. God's already determined. He determines it based upon what he knows America is going to do. See, God knows what we have done, what we're doing. He knows what we will do. He knows what people's minds like. Sometimes he changes men's thinking. We read in the last two or three messages, different parts of the scripture, where he changes man's thoughts. They don't even think reasonable. Why? Because they won't follow God and he knows it. So he changes them. Whatsoever God has purposed in his heart. And now, the Bible says, and now, Lord, behold, they're threatening and granting to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Our job is to be a witness. And when we're a witness and we get our minds focused on him, our job, not what we think somebody could do, not what we think somebody ought to do, because they will disappoint you every time. But keep your mind focused on what God has determined he wants you to do and me to do. And then they're thanking God for that. Lastly, let's look at the thought, how pleased God is and how the operation of the Holy Ghost comes back. A Holy Ghost and the Holy God comes into play. They have given praise to God. They were in hold. They were persecuted. They were opposed. And they were spoken evil to. It didn't matter to them. Nothing could change their focus. No matter what the world does and what doesn't happen, we don't lose our focus. They're thanking God that he has purposed. He has planned. He has orchestrated everything. He has permitted them. And now they're saying, God, give us more boldness to speak clearly. Let's look lastly at the operation of a holy God. When you and I please him and we give him honor and glory and our mind is focused on him, not on the world, the things of the world, or anybody else or what ought to be done in our opinion, when we focus on him as they have, this is a lesson for you and for me. They focused on God and they're giving God praise. Look at the 31st verse, the operation of a holy God. A holy God. And when they had prayed, remember they had prayed and sought God's face and thanked him for the opportunity. They wasn't bellyaching. They wasn't saying, oh, we were held, we were shamed, we were opposed. No. They were thanking God, give us more boldness. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, for they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. What happens when you and I learn to maintain our focus on what God expects us to be, a witness, not only in word, but in action, where we go, how we treat others, everything about us, we are witnesses. And then when we keep our mind focused on him, thankful, not with our heads down low, God's going to do a work in our heart. He's already determined what he's going to do. We just read that. And now they're saying, give us boldness. It pleased the Father so much that he shut that place and filled them with the Holy Ghost. What do you think they did then? Well, the next chapter tells us we're not going. See, when they get their mind on him, God opens doors. He saves lost souls. I wonder this morning if you and I would just recognize, and I'll speak for myself, how little I have been focused on him and him only. I focused a lot on what I thought somebody could do. And every time I do that, it takes my focus off of what God wants me to do. What about you this morning? Would you just make a confession? I hope you wasn't like that. I hope you aren't like that. But you see, the book of Acts and other chapters will help us understand and know that our focus, as John and Peter and the rest of the disciples were, focused on him, what his predetermined counsel is already determined, and he made you and I part of it. Our soldiers were made a part of freedom for America, and they gladly stood the test. And God has said, you're a soldier. I'm a soldier for the cause of Christ. Will be a witness. Will you maintain your focus on what he can do with you and what he wants us to do to a lost and dying world? And then God will fill us with the Holy Ghost and shake us into action. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. Come to the piano and organ. Play God what God wants you to play this morning. And as you stand, let God speak to your heart.